an idea.
What?
For a couple of weeks, you would throw in the day of the week. You'd go like, today, Tuesday, like right there.
Mm-hmm.
You'd give out the temperature.
That's more work.
74. Like that.
We don't need to know
that. All right.
Although we do need to know that because fall is officially kicks into full force.
The 21st.
All right, but we had fall, and now we're back to summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, aren't all the pools closed?
Yeah, the pools are closed. But you can have a water weenie. A slip and slide.
I guess that's have those. Good to know.
That's fun. A super soaker.
Hey, can I talk to you about a story that's in the news? I want to get your take on this.
Sure. I'm against it, by the way. I don't know what it is, but I'm not a fan of it.
I don't think you would be a fan of this, but I have to give this woman credit. There's a woman in Berkshire, England. Hello. That was her.
That was her?
She has attended every single funeral service at Holy Redeemer Church for the past 14 years.
What? People she doesn't know?
People she doesn't know.
That's crazy.
Are you wondering why she's done it?
Yes. Why would she do such a thing?
She attends the funerals for the buffet.
Oh,
afterwards.
No. That's very sad. But the buffet is held at a different location.
Yes, but and this is a weird feeling that I have. For funerals, I like to keep that basically for family members and really close personal friends.
So the wake, anyone can come by.
Right.
The funeral, you say invite only or what?
No. But in my personal opinion, I mean, people appreciate it when you see somebody at the funeral for your mom or your whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. To me, I feel like that should just be family because of that reason and really close personal friends because after the funeral service, they always...
There's a lunch.
Yeah, and they always invite who is ever in the church. You know, please join us at R&R banquets.
Yeah.
We will be having a luncheon afterwards.
And then so, I always raise my hand and go, will there be key lime pie? Just curious. Not that I wouldn't go anyway, but on a sad day, you need a little something to brighten up your morning. So if there's key lime pie, I don't like make a big show out of it, but inside I go, yeah, I'm going to get a little more excited.
Well, I feel guilty attending the luncheon buffet if it's not family. Like, even if I would go to a funeral, if it's not like a super close personal friend or
right.
a family member, I wouldn't feel right partaking in the buffet, but this woman, every single funeral service for 14 years.
All right. First of all, she needs to reevaluate her time. Second of all, it's not always a buffet, is it?
Well, I've only been to a buffet, but it's a luncheon.
It's a lunch. Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
And there was this place.
It's usually chicken for some reason.
You know, it's funny
you say
that.
I don't know why, but it's almost always chicken.
Most of our family members are buried at Queen of Heaven. My mom is there. My dad's there.
Good plug, by the way. Nice plug.
Well, I'm hoping to get a deal on a plot.
That would be great. The plot thickens.
There was a restaurant. It's not there anymore, and I can't remember the name of what it was. But we used to, La Perla, I believe it was.
Oh, I know La Perla. I've never been there, but I've passed by it.
I don't think it's open anymore. But I don't think it is. We used to go there for the luncheon after the funerals because it's right near there.
Yeah.
And when my mom passed away, my sister, brother, and I were planning the luncheon after the funeral. And, you know, you look at the menu and you decide what it is you want. And we all kind of unanimously said, yeah, let's just get the funeral chicken. We call it the funeral chicken. Because that's, I mean, you know, sometimes there'd be capers and a little sauce on it.
Yeah, it's special.
That wouldn't count as a chicken party, though.
No, that's not a chicken party, Kevin.
I have a chicken obsession, evidently.
Because I'm just, you know, you don't really party then.
No.
Well,
that type of event.
You pay your respects.
Yeah, but that luncheon is always 9 out of 10 times an open bar, so it gets kind of crazy.
Yeah, it can.
It's a weird whole setup, but let me just explain about this woman. Father Noah Connolly of the Holy Redeemer Church in Berkshire told the Daily Mirror, every funeral we have, she comes, and if there's a reception afterwards, she makes her way to it without invitation.
So does anybody have the wherewithal to just go up to her and go, look, you didn't know my aunt, you shouldn't be here, or do they not?
I think that's the priest's duty, because if you're there for your family member, you're not really paying attention to who's in the church.
Right.
She's a Catholic woman, says Father Connolly, and she is convinced she needs to go to as many masses as possible. She's been coming and going since I've been here for the past 14 years.
He's being kind, though. He knows she's going just for the food, for the
funeral chicken. She admitted it, yeah. The mystery mourner was recently confronted at a wake. Oh, she at least goes to the wake, too.
Not just the funeral. It's a two-day event.
That's commitment.
Wake and funeral.
She should get paid off with a luncheon.
Well, if you're looking at time spent, yeah. She put in some time. She had to pick out an outfit, make sure it was clean.
Black.
It should be. Not always, but it should be.
The mystery mourner was recently confronted at a wake by a mother who had lost her daughter to a rare illness. Catherine Whitehead died at the age of 42 after living with Addison's disease, an endocrine disorder, in which the adrenal glands do not produce enough steroid hormones. 3 weeks after she passed, family and friends held a funeral where the unknown woman turned up on a bike and began chatting up the guests.
She kept the bike parked outside the church, right?
Gosh, I hope so. I almost said God. And I
Not
thought,
in this case.
No. 3 weeks after she passed, so she came on her bike, Catherine's mom, Margaret...
Bling, bling. Ring, ring.
Out of my way. I want some funeral chicken.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
It's a good bike.
Thanks.
It sounded British, too.
Yeah, it's
that
a
was
British bike.
Good. Catherine's mom, Margaret, said, quote, "She got my son Kevin to give her a lift from the church to the Irish Center for the wake. There were a lot of people at the funeral from Catherine's work, so I just assumed she was a colleague."
Sure.
That's what most people would assume.
Yeah, you see her, you go, well, that's not a relative. We'd see her at weddings. It's she must work with her.
When I spoke to her, though, she told me she used to work with Catherine as a waitress. Well, you know what? My daughter never worked as a waitress.
That's a lie. You don't lie.
You shouldn't lie in church.
Mm-mm.
She was eating from the buffet like there was no tomorrow.
Maybe in England it's more customary to actually have a buffet. Here in the U.S., I don't know that I've ever been to one of those lunches that's buffet style. It's usually what they call
family style.
Family style, which means you can argue a lot while you're eating it.
Have you ever been to a funeral where something terrible has happened? You know, where like somebody's... Because there are a lot of interfamily fighting, and you just wonder if sometimes someone says something or does something inappropriate.
The worst that I remember is when my grandfather died. This is my dad's father. A rabbi was performing the service, and he started out by saying how much my grandfather meant to everybody, including him. And he just went on and on about my grandfather. And he said he meant so much to his grandchildren and his son and his daughter and me and the community. And he was going on and on. And at that point, I'm like, I don't think he knows my grandfather real well, because my grandfather was okay, but he didn't mean a lot to the community or anything like that. And then at some point, when it was time to say my grandfather's name, he didn't know the name.
Oh.
He had to walk across the... I don't know what it's not an altar, but there was a space he had to walk across and look on a piece of paper and get his name and go back and say it. So I'm like, this guy just made all this up about the relationship that they had and what he meant to the, he was just making the whole thing up.
Yeah, but think about it. If you're at the parish and you have a funeral scheduled and it's your turn to do it.
Yeah, you just kind of make it sound like.
You got to.
But that was upsetting, because I remember thinking, I don't think these guys even knew each other, much less were friends forever. And he never said friends forever. He just said how much he meant to me and stuff. And I don't know. It just kind of watered it down to realize they didn't even know each other, much less mean anything to each other.
Wouldn't it have been worse, though, if he just said, "We're sorry, so-and-so passed away, time for the buffet.
Let's have some chicken. Let's have some funeral chicken."
I mean, that's what the priest's job is, you know?
This is a rabbi, so it's slightly different, but not totally different.
But couldn't you pick your own rabbi? Because we picked which priest we wanted to do my mom's service. And...
You can, but he wasn't very religious at all, you know?
Well, so he's lucky he got that.
He is lucky he got that, I guess. Yeah. Where were you then to explain that to the grieving family?
I thought you were going to say you were the one who stood up that said, you know, he really wasn't
that well loved. He was certainly liked a lot, but he just made him. We were all looking around like, are we in the wrong room? He was painting this incredible picture of him. I don't know.
312-235-2525 is our number. There was my Auntie Phoebe lost her husband Alvaro. I was pretty little. She was my great aunt, so he was older and he lived a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And His name was Pantera, by the way. Alvaro Pantera. Rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. After the band Pantera?
No.
Is that her?
He came from Italy.
Oh.
And so Uncle Alvaro was laying in the caskets, and our family was big on the open caskets. We always had them.
Yeah.
And honestly, with a bunch of great aunts and uncles, I felt like as a kid we were going to funerals probably every other weekend.
Yeah.
It really seemed like that.
I know.
So it just got to be kind of, you know, we'd get to play with our cousins. It wasn't that sad for a little kid.
Right.
But you'd go up and you'd say your prayer. And then Auntie Phoebe at the end of the ceremony at the actual funeral home before going to the church, they came to close the casket so they could move it into the hearse to get it to the church. And Auntie Phoebe decided to start wailing and crying and hugging him and pulled Uncle Alvaro pretty much out of the casket.
No. Once you're in, you're in. You can't come out.
It was heartbreaking. And, you know, it's weird because my dad died when I was 10, but I remember my father was the one who, you know, tried to console Auntie Phoebe. And
yeah.
Phoebe, we got to leave him here, man. We, you know, come on. And he helped push Uncle Alvaro back into the casket.
That's uncomfortable.
But it's love.
That even, I guess it is love, but that's still very uncomfortable.
I don't think we had funeral chicken that day.
No. You have to forego the funeral chicken on a day like that. Much like your family, my mom's side of the family, not so much my dad's, but my mom's side of the family is very large. Lots of cousins, lots of aunts, lots of uncles. And like you said, there comes a time where they just seem to be dropping like flies, you know? And my mom had an uncle, Billy was his name. I'm not named after him. He was walking around one of the funerals. And he had his hands in his vest pockets. And he's just darting around, and he kept saying this over and over. He'd go, "Who's next? Who's next?" Like that. He just kept saying that the whole day.
That's got to be a feel good.
Well, I said to my brother and one of my cousins, I go, "This is awful. Somebody needs to tell Billy. You shouldn't be taking bets." Not that he was, but on who's next.
No, you were.
I was, but he shouldn't have been. And then 6 days later, he died. So the answer to
his
riddle was him. Yeah.
That's ironic.
That's ironic.
Was your money on him?
No. Because he had so much energy and enthusiasm. He would just go up to, like, there'd be groups of two or three people talking. Who's next? That was his in on the conversation.
It is the most awkward place to be is at a funeral. And, you know, even a wake.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
So uncomfortable, isn't it? And rightfully so.
I know.
And then there's a dead person in the room, which makes no matter what you're doing, if there's a dead guy in the room, it's uncomfortable. As a rule.
But you've seen all these funerals where they have people set up. You talked about one on the air one time. Some guy was sitting in a chair and he had like his baseball cap on and
yes.
he wanted to appear that he was still alive.
Yes.
And there are various other people who are set up in like their team color casket and stuff.
Right. I don't know about that.
Do you want to go out like with a bunch of action figures around
no.
you?
No. No.
They could be holding you up like, you know, you're some kind of action figure superhero or something.
I don't want that.
They could arrange it all underneath you so you'll be laying on.
I don't want that. And I don't want to be viewed. You know, like I've made it clear to everybody close to me that when I die, like just the minute I die, incinerate me. Because I don't want anyone staring at me making, you know, he looks great, he looks terrible.
You don't want to be judged.
I do not want to be judged when I cannot judge back. If I'm still alive,
that
have
makes
at
sense.
Me.
I wonder if that's a guy-girl thing, because Jim wants to be cremated, too.
Does he also?
And I do not.
No?
No. I want a big show, and the girl who does my hair and makeup better get it right.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear.
Who are
she
you
wouldn't
gonna,
wear blue eyeshadow.
Did you pick
shadow.
Somebody already?
No,
do you know somebody?
But that's funny. That would be funny to, you know, when you do a will, say, and who's the person who will do my
right.
hair and makeup? Hair and makeup provided by...
Max Factor. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Judy's got the news, and then we'll all have funeral chicken. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we were talking about funerals, and there's this woman in England who attended every funeral mass, every single one, for 14 years at Holy Redeemer Church, and it turned out she just did that so she could go to the luncheon afterwards.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
Well, she Everything. Also went to the wake, so she really put in big effort.
Yeah. Sympathy card? Did she give a sympathy card?
That's a great question.
I'll ask.
So we were talking about funerals and, you know, strange things that have happened. And Tim wanted to jump in real quick before we get to Judy's news. Hi, Tim.
Hi, young lady. How are you two?
Couldn't be better, Tim. What did you experience?
I'm the Indiana big fan of yours.
Oh, excellent.
You're the one. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
We want to have one fan in each state.
I always listen. Always.
Excellent. Thank you. You have good taste.
Unlike the lady in England, I don't attend funerals, period.
You don't? Anybody.
Why?
No. Even when my mom passed, I didn't go, which led to some family battles.
I bet that was controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's your reason for not attending?
Because, first of all, it's pretty morose, but secondly, the person in the casket is not my mom. That's not how I remember.
Right.
I went to where we grew up, and I sat out in the car and thought about her and cried and all that, but not at funerals. Anyway, my record was challenged one day when my wife's sister's father-in-law passed away. And he'd been big-time politician type thing. He'd been married to his current wife, to the then-current wife, for a little over 40 years.
Wow.
And at the funeral, I'm sitting in the back. I'm staying way in the back. And there's, of course, a bunch of people up front, patting on the back and crying and all that. A lady walked in and said, I have been John Farmer's, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I have been John's mistress for over 30 years.
Whoa.
And, that SOB thinks he's leaving without leaving me something, he's crazy. And she's telling the wife, who's standing in front of the casket.
Oh, my God. And he can't dispute it or corroborate. Oh, my God.
So, obviously, a verbal fight started. And then it evolved into a little pushy-shovey. Then it got involved in wrestling, headlocks, and the whole shooting match. And they both fell into the casket with John.
Oh, my God.
I was praying I had a movie camera. I could have sold that.
America's Funniest Videos.
How did this get resolved? How did this end?
The rest of the family finally escorted the lady out.
No funeral chicken for you, ma'am. You get no funeral chicken.
And they escorted her out, but I'm telling you, I sat back there and laughed. The only funeral that could have been good to go to was
this. Oh, well, thank you for sharing that, and thank you so much for listening. What a horrible experience, although Tim enjoyed it.
Yeah, it seemed like he did.
Thank you, Jude.
You're welcome.
Hi, Bill. Judy. I had to think about it. I wasn't sure I wanted to come in.
Sorry, was there a part of that wasn't up to snuff?
No, it was great. I just, I didn't want your head to get too big.
You were being a little bit morose there. What, do you think you're at a funeral?
No, I don't. This is a story that happens, I think, twice a year where they decide which words will go into the dictionary.
Oh, I love this.
But doesn't it happen every 6 months? I think Merriam-Webster puts out a list. And then what's the other one?
Dictionary.com or something.
It's dictionary.com, I think.
Love these.
Yeah. So these are words that have been part of the lexicon for a while, and then finally all the bigwigs over at the dictionary websites or the dictionary themselves decide, yeah, it's common enough.
As long as it can be used in Words with Friends, I'm good.
Right.
I want to know if anybody still has a working dictionary at their house.
Well, we do, because my wife and I play a game called Upwords, which is like Scrabble, but instead of just, you know how on Scrabble it's all on one level? With Upwords, you make new words, you build up in addition to a cross.
Like three-dimensional.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we have to keep a fairly current dictionary in the box, because my wife tries to fake me out with her knowledge of the language, and she'll say a word, and I'll go, I don't think thudwhack is a word, and she'll go, look it up, thudwhack is a word.
All right, a current dictionary, how old is it? Because, you know, you can just Google it.
It's from...
You don't need a dictionary in the box anymore.
I guess you could. Yeah, you could.
And I mean, my goodness, is it a big dictionary?
Well, we want to keep one that are words that are only allowable to Scrabble. Because, like, your regular dictionary...
I'm sure that changed, too.
That changes all the time. Yeah.
So do you update, like, your...
We get a new one about every 2 years, but she used a word the other day. I'm trying to remember what word she used. But it's a word that's very common now that 2 years ago, you know, it had to do with something.
Was it a scared?
It was not a scared.
Because I want to know when that's going to be in the dictionary.
Never.
I don't know. It's common usage at this point. Enough people say it that it might become a word at some point.
I've never heard any. I hear you say it when you're goofing around.
Little kids say it all the time. I'm a scared.
I'm a scared.
Heck no, I'm a scared. Yeah. All right. So Merriam-Webster has added 250 new words to their online dictionary.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot
that's
at one burst.
That's a lot
burst,
of words. What?
We all talk too much.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, but we should be using the words that are acceptable. Why are we making up new words?
Because no one's taken the time to learn the other ones.
But doesn't it have to do with it's the nature of the beast, the way the language changes, and because there's so many words that are either technology-based or whatever's going on-based at the time. And also, we bring in words from other cultures and make them our own.
Maybe. I don't like the one there's just variations of words. That's wrong. Scared.
Yeah.
You know, say the word correctly, but if these are new
it's
words.
It's scared and afraid. It's the merger of scared and afraid.
I mean, I personally like that word, but
that's little, not in the dictionary as scared, is
maybe
it?
Maybe it is this
but
time.
Little
kid,
if little
check.
Kids ran the dictionary, it would be in the dictionary. You know how little kids also say, like if you're the brother or sister of your aunt or uncle, they'll go cousin instead of cousin. For some reason, little kids always say, that's my cousin. I don't think there's a T at the end of it.
I'm on Merriam-Webster.com. A scared.
A scared is in there?
Is in the dictionary.
Stop it.
All right, how's it spelled?
A-S-C-A-R-E-D.
And what does it mean?
Frightened of?
It's an adjective. Afraid.
That's...
Scared.
I am boycotting Merriam-Webster. If that's in there...
But that's what we're saying is like so many words, even though used incorrectly, if enough people start saying it, it becomes acceptable.
Yeah. It shouldn't be. That shouldn't be
right.
correct, but...
Right.
It's the way of the world.
Right. You used a word that I can't say during the break. You created your own swear word.
Which right? one? She said so many.
But this was one. The base of it is a word. The base of it is definitely a word. It's
like
starts with
the mascot.
Letter S.
Like the mascot from Denny's.
Yeah. Right. But then you added, in addition to the four letters that you get when you say the word, you added I-L-L-Y at the end, and that's not a word, but it got your point across.
Yeah, but you stopped me and said that's not a word. I wasn't, you know, what is the vocab police here? You say things
I think
that...
It's funny that there's so many swear words, but you created your own. It's like, that's not enough
and
for
it
me.
Wasn't even a bad one. It was the S word
right.
with...
I-L-L-Y at the end.
Yeah.
Meaning in the...
Poopily.
Yeah.
Except I used a different word. I did something poopily.
You should send this to Merriam-Webster. You might get credit next time.
I'm scared to.
Nice.
But he looked at me. I just said, oh, I did something. I don't even remember what I was talking about. And you just looked at me with this quizzical look, and you go, I don't think that's a word.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
I just meant for what, like if you were ever to say it in front of a more important group of people, you should know it's not a word because they'll call you out on it. I wouldn't.
I've been around a long time.
I put my swears together all the time and... Yeah,
you combine them.
Oh gosh, yeah.
This was such a minor. This is. I didn't even think of it as a swear word. Really, it was so minor. But you know, I'm 54 years old. I know how to, you know, talk to people.
Oh, I know.
You're the only one I care about. That's not a word.
I'm helping you. Like if you were to write a novel and include it in there,
I'm not.
The publisher would call you out on it and go, page 18 and page 19, and page 26.
Because I bet it's a word.
Page 34. Here are some of the new words in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. These are 250 of the new words. See if you know what they mean. The first one is bibimbap. Now, I know what this is.
I don't. Kevin, you do?
Kevin does.
I love bibimbap.
Do you know what bibimbap
is? Bibimbap.
Bibimbap. I will spell it, and then I will use it as a sentence. B-I-B-I-M.
B-I-Bicky-Bo-B-I-Boo-Bicky-Bi-Bo-B-A-Boo-Bicky-Bi-Bo-Boo.
This is in the new Shemp dictionary that just came out. bibimbap, B-I-B-I-M-B-A-P, bibimbap. What does that mean? I'll use it in a sentence. We need more bibimbap.
Oh, that's a great sentence.
We are fresh out of bibimbap.
You're right, though, Bill.
I am.
What is it?
What could it possibly mean? Kevin, I know you know it because I see you. Your hands on your buzzer. Hold on.
I have no idea. Is it a
porridge? Wendy, any idea?
Is it a cereal?
No, it's not a cereal. Bibimbap cereal? Although, that would
be
tasty.
We need more discussion.
Energy? Is it energy?
No, but it could provide you with energy.
I think Kim Jong-un is probably a fan of it.
Is it like Red Bull?
Bibimbap?
Bibimbap.
Kim Jong-un could be a fan, but Kim Jong-gordon is not a fan.
All right.
Is it
Kim Gordon doesn't like whatever
pork?
This is.
Here's what it is. It is a Korean dish comprised of rice, cooked vegetables, usually meat, often raw, and it includes a fried egg on top. So if you go to any Korean restaurant anywhere and ask for it, they've got it ready.
Okay, well, that's an actual word. I mean, that's a food.
But it's been like, it's been
I never heard of
common
it.
In Korea, but now all of a sudden it's so common in the United States. And you're right, it should
it's
be.
It's still the word.
Like
yeah,
the
it's
other
not
food
made
started,
up.
Pizza
right.
started in Italy, so why has that been a word forever? Not
yeah.
Bibimbap. Front. Now, not the front that we all know, meaning the part you're looking at, the opposite of behind, but front meaning what? Now, this is one that should have been a word forever
like
ago.
Like a weather front?
No, like a front meaning they're actually doing bad business, but it's just kind of
you're
a
very
decoy.
Close. Yes, yes. To assume a fake or false personality to conceal one's true identity or character.
I've used
how could
that
not
word
have been a word
in that
for
way.
50
I'm
years?
I'm sure I've used that word in that way.
Absolutely.
Oh, they had it was a front.
They're using it as a front. It's not really.
Absolutely.
They're making this list poopily.
Yes, very poopily. And I'm a scared.
That's the next word. This is another one that should have been a word 20 years ago. Froyo.
Frozen yogurt.
Frozen yogurt. Why is that now just now being accepted? Come on, Merriam-Webster.
Kind of a slang.
Ransomware.
Duh, that's when
that's
your
easy.
Computer is being held for
right.
money.
Being
yes.
held hostage.
You have to pay for them to release something so you can activate your computer again.
Don't ever pay it, by the way.
Yeah, because, listen,
Bibimware.
These are shady characters.
To begin
Who's
with?
To
yeah.
say you're going to pay
the
them and they're going to go, okay, all's free.
Yeah. Now, this is one I don't know if either of you will get, but I think Kevin will get it. You might have to be a sports fan for this. Schneid. S-C-H-N-E-I-D. Schneid.
I've heard it used. I don't know what it means because my name's Snyder, but everybody calls me Schneider. And so...
They might... I'll put it in the context. I won't use it in a complete sentence, but I'll say where you usually would see this. In sports, they might say that a certain player is on the Schneid.
I've heard it used, but I don't know,
you know
what
it
means.
I don't know.
It means they're not doing well. They're involved in some
oh,
sort
right.
of a poor streak.
You know who I've heard use it? Eddie Olczyk.
Yeah,
I thought it was a shout out to me, and I'm like, he doesn't know my name. It's Snyd.
You mean while you're sitting in your living room watching the game, you're like, hey,
why is Eddie Olczyk bashing me? What have I done?
A Schneider.
Why? Where? What's the derivative
no,
of that though?
Said,
on the
Schneid. On the Schneid.
I think it means something negative in German, like not performing well or something. So, there's some variation on that, but I'm not positive.
Well, duh, it's German.
It is a German word.
You're Captain Obvious today. That's just, not a real word.
Showrunner.
That I will be honest with you. I thought it meant somebody who goes to get coffee for the crew, but
no.
It isn't. It's the person who runs the show, the
right.
person in charge.
Right.
Like the showrunner.
Like yeah,
not
but,
a gopher,
but
right. not
but,
somebody you go.
No, but it's like so literal.
The director.
The show
I mean,
runner.
They used to call
yeah.
it the director or producer or. Yeah.
Well.
That's where I never, that's why I didn't know what it meant.
You're not necessarily, like if you're the showrunner for a TV series, you're not necessarily the director or the producer. You're somewhere in the middle.
But it was called something before it was a showrunner.
Like coordinator maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Am I the showrunner of the Bill and Wendy show?
No.
No? Oh,
nope.
Okay. Mm-mm.
You definitely are, Kevin.
Thanks, Judy.
Nope.
All right. you run the show. Yes.
Sriracha.
Well, it's
a sauce that everybody says wrong because it should be sriracha because there's an R in there.
S-R-I-R-A-C-H-A. Sriracha.
Sriracha. That's how it's spelled.
I like that sauce.
I think a drunk guy invented that word.
Brett Favre.
The R is silent. Yeah, Brett Favre.
Which R is silent? The first R is silent.
All of them.
The second R is overpronounced. That's uncomfortable. Sriracha. Is the forbidden dance.
No,
that's
that
the lambada.
Yes.
A pungent sauce that is made from hot peppers, pureed with usually garlic, sugar, salt, and vinegar. It is typically used as a condiment. Do not use, please, Judy, if you're having a dinner party, do not serve sriracha as a main course because your guests will be very disappointed.
Just in a bowl?
Right. Put it in a bowl.
With a spoon?
With a, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Isn't this the stuff that has been on the table of Asian restaurants for years, and now all of a sudden it's
so.
Like,
well,
I mean,
now, are you thinking of the chili paste? Like the, because that's a little different where you spoon it. This isn't.
No, this was a jar yeah. that yeah. I'd always see when we went out
I
for
mean,
Asian
they,
food.
They have it at grocery stores in a bottle.
Oh, I know, but this was like years ago, and it was like, oh, what's that? I'd never use it. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it exploded, but it's been sitting on your restaurant table for
forever.
Like
forever?
50 years.
Yeah.
See, what I would have said, well, what is this? You think people would ask? And again, it's a word. It has been a word
for a long time. It's been a word that's more prevalent overseas, certainly, but now all of a sudden in the United States we go, well, now that we like it, we'll make it a word.
But so your argument is this isn't
a new word. It's a word. Right. Yeah. Why isn't it already in there?
Right.
It's a word. You know, Webster should be going around always collecting more words.
Right. Webster. Word salad. You've ever heard this phrase?
I have heard that.
Wasn't it in the Frasier open? A word salad and scrambled eggs.
Kind of. This is a string of empty, incoherent, unintelligible, or nonsensical words or comments all kind of thrown together.
Our show.
This is basically what we do.
That's like a Trump tweet.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, some could argue that. I'm trying to think of what would be a good example of one of these. Remember we played an audio clip of somebody explaining something the other day where it didn't make sense, and then Kim Gordon said, it's like that beauty pageant contestant, the one who said such as for no reason at all.
That's a good example.
Right?
Such as.
Yeah.
The word salad.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to eat.
It's the salad that's not good for you. What clip did we play a week or so ago? Remember where there was somebody answering some question, and at the end you just go, wait, what did that guy just say?
It was the sideline reporter.
Oh, yeah, the ESPN sideline guy who just threw in stuff.
Mr. Pibb. What was his name?
It was Mr. Pibb.
Don't you have some friends like that? I do, who I'm like, all right. I mean, I love them to death, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
But sometimes it's pointless.
It's, you know what? It's not pointless, and they're all good words, and it's intelligent. It's just makes no sense.
Oh. Oh.
No, I don't have friends
like that.
Off topic,
it's another angle maybe some part was left out before.
Oh, that's what it is, I bet. That's what it is.
The Irish are very good at that. I think my in-laws, they leave out the first part of the story.
Yes.
And they just jump to the part because they think that you know the part, and I'm always lost. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I do that to Jim, and I do it to you a lot. All of a sudden, I will just go, so what do you want to do about that? And
are you
honestly
Irish?
No, but they look at me like, what? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry you weren't in my head on what I was thinking about. I'm very guilty of that.
My wife, Terry, who is 100% Irish forever, will tell me the end of something that she had told the beginning to a friend or her sister.
Thank you.
Like, she'll be on the phone with her sister telling a story, and then they had to hang up for whatever reason. Then she'll go, so I said to him, if this is your box of milk duds, you better move it over there. And I'll go, what? And she'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't.
That is a bummer.
Yes.
Yes, because I don't really want to hear the whole story
anyway. Absolutely, yeah. All right, I have one more. Unless, Kevin, were you able to find the rest? No. For some reason, Merriam-Webster always just releases a very short handful of these new words. I don't know why.
They want you to buy the Merriam-Webster book and go look up the rest.
I bet that's why. Their last one is working memory. What does that mean, working memory? It's memory that involves storing, focusing attention on, and manipulating information for a relatively short period of time, such as a few seconds. So when would that come in?
What'd you say? I don't...
Sorry. When would that come in handy? Is that like stuff that's on... What's the website where it only shows your picture for 5 seconds and then it's gone forever? Is that the working memory?
Snapchat?
Snapchat? Yeah.
But working memory is something that has, again, been in the lexicon of words because it has to do with a computer. Working memory, like the last few things or windows opened or something.
Well, then it should be fleeting memory.
Yeah, more for fleeting memory. It sounds more nautical.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know how to use
I'm
going to
say that instead. So purchase yourself a Merriam-Webster's dictionary and find 250 of the new words. You'll be glad you did.
Well, I'm sure Terry will.
You know what's funny is she knows she does it, and I always...
Is she always right, though, when she makes you go look?
Oh, no. I thought you meant about telling me just the end of a story.
Oh, no. And I'm back to playing a game, and she uses words that she says, look it up.
She's right about maybe one out of every 10 times.
Oh, okay. So she's not usually right.
No, more times than not, she is incorrect. But we have a rule, like with word games, whenever we play Scrabble or Upwords or any of those word games, is you can't just put a word down hoping that it's a word. You have to know the meaning of the word or you don't get credit for it. And her track record is not good with that. Mine is really good with that, but hers is always, she, like I said, about 10%. That's not enough.
No, not really.
That's not enough.
I have a new word. Pre-game.
I'm going to guess before the game. Like a pre-game warm-up.
Now I don't know if that is an actual
That's what
word.
It was, but now
it
you do, what
meaning?
Is it?
What is it,
it's
Kevin?
It's where you drink before going out drinking.
To begin drinking alcohol before an event or activity. So like, you know, pre-party.
Who says this mostly?
No, I actually have heard that, yeah.
Me
the millennials.
Millennials.
Yeah, they do say that. We're going to have some pre-game. And of course, I'm like, I don't really want to watch the game. That's how old I am. Yeah.
And is there also post-game, or is it just pre-game?
Oh, post-game is when you go to White Castle.
Oh.
Right. Schneid, by the way, is a slang word that refers to a losing streak and has its origins in some German phrases disparaging tailors. Because Schneider means tailor in German.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So
why would you want to disparage a tailor?
Maybe they screwed up your suit.
I would still give him a second chance.
Alt-right is a new word that's been added.
One I don't think I heard of until last year.
I agree with you.
Was anyone saying that phrase until even
it was out
people
there,
involved
but no.
in
last,
it?
Yeah, no, it just became popular now.
Yeah.
It is a right-wing, primarily online political movement or grouping based in the U.S. whose members reject mainstream conservative politics and espouse extremist beliefs and policies typically centered on the ideas of white nationalism.
When they do, you know, at the end of the year, they always come up with the phrases that kind of proliferated the language. Like every year you see
it. Profiterole. Coach Q, let's eat.
The one that I guarantee you will be in there is double down. Because forever, double down was used as a blackjack term for obvious reasons. You have a $10 bet, you think you're going to win, you double down, you have a $20 bet. But now it's become such a political phrase. And I don't know.
Oh, that is true. You're right. Oh, and then he just doubled down
on
that comment and he doubled down again.
Yeah.
But I think the meaning is still the same.
The meaning is the same, but I never saw it in any context other than
sports
or cards. And now it's become almost exclusively a political statement.
Yep, you're right about that.
You know?
All right, I have another sports word. Bunny.
Oh, that's a rabbit.
That's one of its meanings.
What is a bunny?
The second meaning is an attractive young woman, I guess based on Playboy Bunny.
Oh, maybe.
But the current one is in basketball, it's an easy shot such as a layup taken close to the basket.
Oh, that was a bunny.
For instance, he missed a handful of bunnies around the basket.
Is this in the Ken Harrelson dictionary?
He should put out his own.
That would be great. Because there's words and phrases he uses that nobody else uses. I can't tell you how many times I go, wait, what is he talking about?
But never bunny, huh?
I don't think he has. Because it's mostly a basketball phrase, right?
Yes.
It's not a baseball phrase.
That
How
is
about
a basket.
Put the bunny in the basket. Now that
put
makes
the
sense.
Biscuit in the basket.
The biscuit in the basket is that a phrase?
Yeah, that's hockey for put the puck in the net.
Oh my goodness! All right,
and Blackhawks play tonight.
Yes.
Whoop whoop
whoop whoop says Judy. let's take a quick break. We'll close things off. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Is that all she wrote? Are we closing up shop? Are we skedaddling?
We're doing all those things and more, Wendy. We have to say goodbye. We don't want to, but the law, they will hold us accountable.
What law? Are you there?
Nope. All right, that's it for today. If you're lucky, we'll come back tomorrow and dance some more. If we're lucky, we'll come back tomorrow and dance some more. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.